Hello and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. For those of you just joining, I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn, and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word and get a little bit of encouragement today. So we have been looking at the Scriptures in the Old Testament and challenging ourselves to see Christ on every page. And we get that encouragement, or at least that idea from the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples on the road to the town Emmaus. And this was after his resurrection, when they found the tomb empty. The two disciples were walking along the road discussing that. Jesus joined them, and he began to open their understanding of himself in the Old Testament through the stories of the prophets and the law and such. So last week, we looked at Psalm 22. And this week, we're going to take a look in the book of Joshua, and we're going to be looking at the end of chapter 5. This was when Israel had crossed the Jordan, and they were camped at Gilgal, and they were considering conquering Jericho. So we see in Joshua 5, 13 through 15, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have come now.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." And so you might say, okay, wait a minute, we're talking about Joshua and the commander of the Lord's army, and you're telling me that this is Jesus. And so let's look at a couple of things. First of all, I love the unexpected answer. You know, Joshua says, "Are you for us or are you for our enemies?" And Jesus says, "No." You know, this is classic Jesus. You know, Jesus is the one with the agenda. He answers to no one, and it's his plan that we're going to go with. And so that's what he's telling here. But as far as when we look at this, we see that Matthew and Luke both record Jesus as saying, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And so here we see Joshua falling on his face in worship, calling the commander of the Lord's army Lord. So the commander does not prevent this from happening or forbid it. In fact, the word that Joshua uses for Lord is the title that is spoken in place of Yahweh to show a respect for the Lord, because the Israelites didn't want to use the word Yahweh, so they used this term, this title for God. We also see in Revelation 22, 8 through 9, this same concept. When John is encountering the angel here, he writes, "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said to me, 'Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God.'" So here we have this instruction from an angel to John to not worship him, but to worship God. And then in Genesis 3:5, God tells Moses to take off his sandals for the same reason that the commander of the Lord's army, Jesus, told Joshua to take off his, is the place where you stand is holy, that he was standing on holy ground because he was talking to God. And so in this short interaction here, we see that Joshua goes from the one who's questioning to the one who's prostrating himself on the ground in worship and then obeying the instructions of the Lord. And so this is what we come to know as a pre-incarnate encounter with Jesus. And so what we also see is from this pattern is that he asked the Israelites to do after this encounter is showing them dependence on God for the victory. Because we see the pattern here, right? That in Joshua 6, 1 through 5, right? Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man, straight before him." And so we know from the story that this is what happened, that they did indeed for 6 days march around the city with the ark, and they did it so in silence, and so this repeated action for 6 days until the seventh day when they blew the horn. But what's interesting here is prior to any of this action, in verse 2, Jesus tells Joshua, "I have given Jericho into your hand." And so it's by Jesus' sovereignty that Jericho was given into the hand of Israel. It wasn't because of any of the action that they had to do. Now, they had repeated this action that seemed to yield very little for 6 days. And so this repetition without results, and that's a powerful trust-building exercise, even for us, waiting for the results based on Jesus' sovereignty and not our own effort. Because it's interesting, because Jesus had already promised them the victory. He had already declared that Jericho had been delivered into their hands, and yet they had to wait. We see the same thing with King David. He was anointed when he was a young man, and yet he had to wait also to assume the throne. And so in these examples, we see that trusting God's promises, this should encourage us to wait also, right? So we know that Jesus has already defeated death and sin. He's already delivered us from hell. We know that he's currently interceding for us in heaven with the Father, and we know that he's currently creating a place for us where he will come and gather us and take us there to be in eternity with him. So for our best, for the best thing for us to do on our part is to just trust in the Lord, you know, with all our heart, and lean not on our understanding, right? Proverbs 3. And so we need to allow the Lord to direct our paths, but trust in his sovereignty for the completed work that he's already stated will come to pass. So I hope that's encouraging you today, and have a blessed week.